we place this teaching in the heart of Mary as we offer it to the Lord. Amen. During the rosary we just prayed together, we heard Lourdes speaking about remaining, and I kept having this image of St. Paul speaking of running the race, and for someone who's running in the race, to remain in the race is giving it all you got. And that's important because remaining may have a connotation of just, you know, putting yourself in a couch, you know, and you remain. But in this case, it's not that. It's remain in the race. And all the grace and all the power you need will come from the Lord, but we need to be focused and disciplined, and that is a choice we make every day in faith, to choose to remain in this race in the face of all that comes against us. And the tendency of the flesh is to get distracted, to lose focus, right? So today I want to share with you about some particular dangers that I think we as people who love the Lord will encounter. As evil advances, it will become impossible to remain faithful unless we are humbly focused in Christ and persevere in the bark of Peter. And to us in love crucified, in the bark of Peter also means to be those sailors in the bark that are fulfilling the mission that has been given to us through so many teachings. So we're not just there in the bark, but we have a mission to do. Never mind if Jesus seems to be asleep, he's there with us. So the devil is our adversary, and he knows what doors to use to enter our heart. Like St. Ignatius of Loyola said, that he's like a great general, and he studies the defenses to see where is the weak point. That's why self-knowledge is so important. Perhaps none of us is going to become pro-abortion or become a liberal in the world. So what is the weak point in our armor, in our defenses? I am seeing persons who were very committed Catholics that not long ago would say, in the storm, we can know that we are with Christ if we are with the Pope. Remember the times not too far away. All the people who loved the Lord would say that. If you are going to be with Christ in all the confusion, you better be with Peter, with the Pope. Yet, many of those people, and I know some personally, have separated from the Pope, and yet they think that they're still faithful Catholics. What happened? They were shaken by the storm and alarmed because the shepherds seemed to be asleep. In the fear, in the anxiety, and seeing the sheep confused and scattered and the shepherds asleep, they're taking matters in their own hands. And that's Satan point of entry. To entice us to react to a real serious problem with something that appears to be a solution, but it's a trap. And notice Satan always acts that way. You know, we're seeing it over and over again. We have a problem, a real problem, and he offers a false solution. In Jeremiah, you go to chapter 42, the Israelites are shaken with fear because the Babylonian Empire has sent an army to conquer Jerusalem. So they go to Jeremiah and they say, we promise, Jeremiah, we will do whatever the Lord tells us. So ask God what he wants us to do. So Jeremiah dutifully goes to the Lord and asks, and comes back the word of the Lord, says to them, stay put in Jerusalem. Do not flee to Egypt. Don't seek a false security. Stay where you are. If you go to Egypt, the sword will follow you there and you shall die. Even though they said, we'll stay faithful, we'll say whatever the Lord does, as the Babylonian army got closer and closer, they fled to Egypt. And the warning was fulfilled. One thing is in theory, the other thing is in practice. When things get more and more hot, we're going to be more and more tempted to react in our own provisions, in our own logic, and not be put where the Lord wants us. And that's the lie of Satan. The Pope is not the Pope. The Pope is a heretic. I am receiving many messages of people who are aware of the spiritual battle that is going on now. They're right about that. So they are attracted to messages that resonate with that. And so they fall into the trap, because a person can be seeing a problem but have a false solution. And here we come to a case with Archbishop Vigano. And I mention him honestly because I have received already more than 3 emails just in the last week of people I know well that, oh, you know, this letter from Vigano has arrived and has said this and that. And many things that he says are true. But beware. Archbishop Vigano has condemned the Second Vatican Council. He has condemned the Pope. In fact, he doesn't even call them the Holy Father anymore. He calls them Bergoglio. That's a huge red flag. Anybody in our church who refuses to call the Pope, is taking the first step to a schism. And that means a rupture of the unity of the church. Very serious. The Lord chose Peter. Was Peter perfect? Right after the Lord chose him to be the rock, what happened? He got it all wrong. He didn't want to go to Jerusalem. Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. And yet, the Lord ratified his election of Peter. He denied him 3 times later, and still the Lord chose him to be the Pope. We're not saying that popes don't say things that trouble us. That can happen. Even then, we will grow in virtue by remaining in the bark of Peter. Schismatics often are reacting to something that indeed is very wrong in the church. For example, Luther. The Pope in his times was terrible. There were many things going on in the church that he was right on saying this is bad. But unfortunately, he brought a schism into the church. The schismatic spirit in us doesn't blow up all of a sudden. It's a process. We begin secretly finding satisfaction when those bad shepherds are vilified. We quickly begin to believe the worst without any objectivity. Saint Teresa of Avila said, never affirm anything unless you're sure it is true. The Lord made Peter the visible head, the sign of unity. He gave him the keys of the kingdom. The Lord has called love crucified to be victim souls for our shepherds. That's our mission. You see, we don't think necessarily they're also good. That's not for us to judge. Our mission is to be victim souls for them. We don't try to justify them. Again, not all that the Pope says is a magisterial teaching. In fact, when Pope Benedict wrote those beautiful volumes on the Gospels, in the preamble, he says, it goes without saying that this is not magisterial teaching. And he's writing it, but it's not part of the magisterium. Those books are not part of the magisterium. So we need to make the distinction and trust that the bark will not sink. Pope Francis has said things that seem to contradict what previous popes have said. But it's not for us to judge as if we were in charge of judging the Pope, as if we were a superior authority. We do not react with spite. We try to understand, and if we don't, if you pray about it and it seems to go against what has been said before by the church as teaching, then you allow it to pierce your heart. And we choose to love the Pope and suffer with Christ for him. And we have to believe that that's more powerful than all the human reactions. And we continue to believe the truth, the teaching of the magisterium. If the Pope would say something in a interview or whatever that seems confusing, ambiguous, or whatever, we hold on to the magisterium and we go forward. When Mother Teresa of Calcutta was asked, what would you do to improve the church? What would you answer? Her answer was, I would change myself. Mother Teresa. And she says, this is what Jesus taught. First, we must remove the beam from our eye. You know, then we come to self-knowledge, right? We need to recognize our misery and choose to live in total trust on the mercy of God. God has given us a mission, has given us a way of life. It may appear insignificant, like a mustard seed, but if we believe, we will move mountains. For years, the Lord has been telling us about the power of a victim soul united to Him. Do we believe that? The power of our ordinary life. The little things done for love as one with Him. St. Catherine of Siena. A lot of people appeal to her to say, well, you know, St. Catherine of Siena, you know, she confronted the Pope. Apparently, they don't know much about St. Catherine of Siena. With what love, with what respect she addressed the Pope. Listen to what she says. You should hold these sinful ministers out to me with tears and great desire, so that I, in my goodness, this is the Father speaking to St. Catherine, okay? I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat that. The Father speaking to St. Catherine, you should hold these sinful ministers out to me with tears and great desire, so that I, in my goodness, may clothe them with the garment of charity. Indeed, I have appointed them and given them to you to be angels on earth, as I have told you. When they are less than that, you ought to pray for them, but you are not to judge them. Leave the judgment to me, and I, because of your prayers and my own desire, will be merciful to them. Now listen to this. This is St. Catherine of Siena. Even if the Pope were Satan incarnate, we ought not to raise up our heads against him. I know very well that many defend themselves by boasting they are corrupt and work all manners of evil. But God has commanded that even if the priests, the pastors, and Christ on earth were incarnate devils, we'd be obedient and subject to them, not for their sakes, but for the sake of God and out of obedience to Him. Mark Mallett wrote some time back a beautiful reflection called "This is a test," referring to what we're going on now. It's a test to our faithfulness to Christ and His bride. And remember that trials shed light in our own weakness and tendencies. When we are facing adversity, be attentive, because the Lord is going to show you what turmoil is inside of you reacting that you need to confront. That's when we go deep. And then we can turn evil into an opportunity to or for purification. So Mark Mallett says, if you have lost your peace over anything happening in the church today, you're failing the test. Because our peace comes from trusting Jesus, who is the Lord of history. And it is with us in all our trials. If you think that the Second Vatican Council or the Novus Ordo Mass or any magisterial teaching since John the 23rd are the cause of upheaval, you're failing the test. Our Catholic faith teaches us that the Holy Spirit guides all the councils of the church. There may be many controversies in them, but the result is Christ teaching to his bride. We may like it, we may not like it. That's an issue we have to deal with inside of us for healing. In addition, remember that St. John the 23rd, Pope John Paul II, both great defenders of the council, are canonized saints. A further sign of God's approval. If you say that the hierarchy is destroying the church, you are forgetting the promise of Jesus. I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. It's true. Shepherds have an important mission, and they can do much harm if they are unfaithful. But the Lord will always prevail. Trust that. If you're judging the Pope, you're failing the test. The Pope can make mistakes. We may disagree in things that are not defined by the magisterium, but we owe him the respect of his office as the vicar of Christ. It would be our loss if we ignore the immense richness of his teaching because there are some that we struggle with. By the way, there's a lot of Pope Francis in the path. And he keeps on giving amazing teachings filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're mostly ignored. By the way, this week he gave a beautiful teaching about the Beatitudes. Have you heard about anything? Anything about it? If you have said that Pope Francis is a false pope and that the real one is Benedict XVI, you're failing the test. It's really a straightforward matter. Because Benedict XVI has repeatedly said, "No one has tried to blackmail me." I quote, "If that had been attempted, I would not have gone, since you are permitted to leave because you are under pressure. It's not the case that I would have bartered or whatever. On the contrary, the moment had, thanks be to God, a sense of having overcome the difficulties and a mood of peace." So in other words, Pope Benedict XVI repeatedly has said that Pope Francis is the true Pope, the authentic Pope.
For more information on the path to union with God, please visit the Love Crucified Community website at www.lovecrucified.com. God bless you.